KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
All right, everyone, welcome to the program. We are at the Speak Up table. My name is Barbara, and I invite you to stay right here with us because this is going to be a program that will inform you about an upcoming election cycle. Not the election we're having today, but the primary and general elections coming up fast in 2022. Our guest today is Idaho State Representative Priscilla Giddings. She's from District 7, and no, she's not our District 1 representative, but she has her hat in the ring for Lieutenant Governor next year. And this is an opportunity for you to get to know Priscilla Giddings, so sit tight right where you are, and we'll be right back.
Have you visited Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grunberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
Since Woods Hay and Grain opened their doors in 2013, they continue to provide quality livestock feed for the community. Simple and locally grown ingredients has customers coming back for more while creating new feeds like their rabbit grower pellet and maintainer pellet. Whether you ferment, use loose grains, pellets, or crumbles, Woods Hay and Grain has something for your livestock. Visit them online or stop by their feed store just 5 miles north of Ponderay on Highway 95.
Okay, joining us today on the podcast is Stan and Roy, collectively known as the Raptors from Triple Play. Guys, here's a question. I've heard the Raptor Reef Water Park is always exactly 86 degrees. Why is this?
Well, Madeline, rigorous studies showed us that 86 degrees is the ideal temperature for fun to grow and flourish.
Oh, Stan.
So are you saying the water park would be less fun if it was 85 or 87 degrees?
I think that might possibly be exactly what I'm saying.
Could we make that not what he's saying?
The Raptors are brought to you by Triple Play, where you can bowl, play laser tag, climb a ropes course, and splash around in Raptor Reef Indoor Water Park. Plus, it's all attached to a cozy hotel. Visit 3play.com.
At 88 degrees, fun really dissipates, and we want to avoid that.
Okay, Stan, what is that based on?
Instinct, Roy. Distinct instinct.
Oh.
The 2021 harvest is in the books, and we're happy to report that the forecast for many more award-winning wines is bright. In the meantime, we'll continue to enjoy the current vintages of our winemaking masterpieces, including the 2019 Bistro Rouge, November's Wine of the Month. Come join us for an exceptional experience in the friendly confines of our 301 Cedar Street Tasting Room. Our family-friendly menu has options made from scratch and always with love. We're open 12 to 8 Tuesday through Saturday with live music most Friday and Saturday nights. Great food, great wine. What are you waiting for? Come see us at the Ponderay Winery.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans and your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. Even if you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.com.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. Join me, say hello, and welcome to State Representative Priscilla Giddings. Priscilla, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good afternoon, Barbara. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I want to begin in kind of a really logical place with your background and your education and your work history before you got into politics. Tell us about that, please.
Sure. I'm baby of five kids. My mom was in education. My dad was in law enforcement. He served in Vietnam and just retired in January as the Idaho County Sheriff. And I grew up in eastern Idaho, Idaho Falls area, lived there a little bit when I was a kid, and then we moved up to Riggins when I was in high school, and I graduated from Riggins, and it was a childhood goal to go to the Air Force Academy, and I got accepted, and off I went. And after graduating from the academy, I went to pilot training. And after a rigorous training course there, I got selected to fly the A-10 Warthog. So for some of your listeners who don't know what that is, it's an attack aircraft. It's single seat, and it's built around a huge Gatling gun that shoots 30-millimeter shells at about 50 rounds per second. They affectionately call it a tank buster because that's what it was used back primarily in the Gulf War. But had an awesome experience flying the A-10. I kept flying. I transitioned over into an MC-12, a reconnaissance platform. Flew about 1,000 combat hours in Afghanistan. And I just really started to feel that here we were trained to help the Afghanis gain freedom and fair elections and the rule of law. And back home in Idaho, we were kind of losing some of those freedoms. And I felt called to get involved in politics locally. So I transitioned from active duty into the Idaho Guard and then into the Air Force Reserves, which I am still currently a member in the Air Force Reserves. And that brings us kind of up to date. I've been in the legislature for the last 5 years. I'm a wife. I'm a mother of two little girls and just trying to continue to serve our great state of Idaho.
Well, I want to stay with the Air Force, for I could probably spend all program on that because as a woman, what actually inspired you? Because maybe it's similar to what got you into politics, but what was it about being a pilot in the Air Force? There were other options that you could have chosen.
Yeah, I would say originally what inspired me to serve was my family's love of country. My father served in Vietnam. He was military police, and he sat at the end of the runway at Phan Rang Air Base and watched F-4s take off, and he really saw the fight against communism up close and personal, and he loved our country, and he taught that to us kids at a young age, respecting our flag and serving. I had both my brothers served in the military, one in the Army, another in the Marines. And we just had a great love of country. And when I was younger, I also had the opportunity to live in Israel for a while. And I saw terrorism firsthand. And I quickly realized that freedom is not guaranteed. It's something that you literally have to work for and fight for. And so I had a real strong calling internally that I wanted to continue to fight for that freedom for, you know, my kids. And so that was the inherent desire to serve. When I got into the Air Force and I got to the graduation date and they say, what do you want to do in the Air Force? It was actually, I had to think about it for a while because there were lots of options. And growing up in, you know, rural Idaho, I had no idea that what all the options were in the Air Force. But I had a lot of mentors say, you know, hey, if you're pilot qualified physically, then you should go through pilot training. And then it was just kind of a matter of trying to work to be the best of the best. I maybe a little bit competitive naturally.
That's a good thing always. Well, Priscilla, yeah. First of all, thank you for your service. And may I congratulate you on your recent promotion to Lieutenant Colonel in the Air Force Reserves. That's awesome.
Thank you. It's starting to make me feel a little bit old.
Well, all right. So here we are in politics. And you made it sound like a kind of a logical transition, you know, fighting for freedom, you know, whether it's in the military and seeing what's going on in Israel and Afghanistan and fighting for our freedoms here in Idaho legislatively. So how long have you served in the Idaho legislature?
It's been 5 years. Terms last 2 years, and so I'm in my third term, which will end after this next legislative session. And then we would normally be up for a re-election, but we have a lot going on. We have redistricting that's occurring right now, which means all the lines on the map for what district you live in are going to change for this next election. So there's lots of changes there. And
let me stop you right there on redistricting. So that is being, are those boundaries drawn now or are they being drawn and the negotiations are still ongoing?
You're correct. They are in the middle of negotiations. The redistricting commission, which is composed of a handful of different individuals who try to come up with what they think is the best map based on the new population changes and shifts, they have come up with several of their final maps. They came out with what they thought was another final or an updated map this last Friday. But we think they'll have a final map in the next 2 weeks. And that could be it unless it's challenged in the courts. So somebody can say, hey, that is not as constitutional as it could be, and they could try to take it to court.
So the redistricting commission, are they the final arbiters of this, or does this have to go through a legislative process or some kind of an approval process with our elected officials and then on to the governor?
Technically, they are the final approval process, and that got debated, it's been 10, 15 years ago, and even longer, I think, where it got changed in our Constitution, where used to be in another state, they have the legislatures approve it, but here this redistricting commission is the one who finally approves it, unless, like I said before, it could get challenged in court, and then a judge actually can make a change.
Do you anticipate for any reason or in any area that there might be a court challenge from what you've seen coming?
I have heard rumors that there will probably be a court challenge. You know, the Redistricting Commission is kind of a partisan body. They have, you know, individuals from the Republican Party and also from the Democrat Party who pick who the individuals are. And there's some politics behind that group. The last time we redistricting commission tried to create a map, so 10 years ago at the last census, it was challenged in court then also. So if you just kind of, you know, were to guess, I would say there's probably a high probability that it will be challenged based on historically, and also the new lines look to be targeting some individuals, which is, you know, not fair and is not really legal. So there'll probably be some challenges, but hopefully we'll have a new map before the end of the year.
And that would be your preference? In other words, from what you've seen in the redistricting, you're basically okay with it? Or I know I'm asking you to speculate and to, you know, foretell something, but do you think that those court challenges might delay it to the extent that we will go through primary and next year without redistricts?
Well, we have to have new district lines before the primary, so it would be hurried along. You know, any extra delays might favor incumbents because it doesn't give new candidates as much of time to campaign and build name recognition.
Right.
For me personally, what you would ask, because I'm running a statewide campaign, the new lines don't affect me at all. But where it could impact is the number of true conservatives that end up in the legislature. And that is a constant battle. Inside the Republican Party, there's kind of two factions, more of your conservative Republicans and then your more progressive Republicans.
Or
and
those that would be the tough. Those would be the Democrat Republicans.
Yeah, I guess you could
use
that.
That's Barbara saying it. So I'm understanding that no matter what, you're not running for re-election as a state representative. You are full on into the lieutenant governor option, correct?
Correct. It's Idaho law doesn't allow you to run for the two offices right. Concurrently. You have to pick one or the other.
All right. Well, let's turn our attention to something that I know all of our listeners have been thinking about and wondering about, and that's the reconvening of the legislature that's coming up November 15th. And as far as I can see, there are two main topics on the agenda. And though one of my questions is going to be what else might come up, but let's begin with the mandate issue. One of the questions that many in the legislature, and I'm sure you have an opinion, want to effect for, you know, protecting employee rights in Idaho. They do not want to allow for vaccine mandates. How do you see that discussion, and where are you on, what's your thinking on that?
Yeah, I would say this is one of the worst things that I've ever seen happen in our state in my lifetime. The number of calls I'm getting from people, from doctors, from surgeons, from engineers who have been fired and have lost their jobs because they will not succumb to the mandate. And it's really hurting our state. I'm hopeful that we can get some legislation passed. However, based on what has been going on over the last couple of months, we could have come back and reconvened months ago when we first found this out, when the executive order rolled down. And so I'm not really optimistic. What has happened is that there was an interim federalism committee that met, and they came up with their token piece of legislation, and they kind of didn't really do an honest consideration of all the others. And that draft legislation basically says, hey, in Idaho, we believe people should be able to choose their health care services, and no public agent is going to enforce a mandate. So on a quick glimpse, that sounds okay, but it's not going to help people get their jobs back. And it's really not pushing back against the mandate. And then we have another draft that more conservatives have been rallying behind. And it's Representative Nichols' draft. And it is trying to foot stomp medical privacy and saying, you know, no state agencies, but also no private companies should be allowed to inquire about your individual medical information, your private medical information. And then employers shouldn't be able to use that private medical information to decide whether or not to hire you or fire you. And it also goes on to say that healthcare companies can't deny you service based on your medical
vaccination status. That's huge.
Exactly.
You know, Priscilla, excuse me, one of the misunderstandings on this whole anti-vaccine mandate is that equals anti-vaccination. And that's not true. There are a lot of people that have received the vaccination. They have gone ahead and done that, but they don't want the vaccine mandate. They are anti-mandate, not anti-vaccine. Where do you stand on that?
I absolutely agree with you. Not one of the bedrocks of our American form of government is the ability to choose, to use your brain and figure out what's best for your body and then make that choice. As soon as we stop, we remove that choice, we've exited our form of government of individual freedom. And that's where there's a bigger political fight here, is that this isn't just about a shot. This is about literally losing your ability to make individual health care decisions. And that's scary for a lot of people, whether or not they like the shot, got the shot or not. So you're spot on. And we're seeing it's huge numbers in Idaho, 75% that agree with what you just said.
Yeah.
And now we're having to push to test politically because the people that are in political power right now don't agree with that. And so it's going to take a huge surge of people at the grassroots level, letting their elected officials know that we need to do the right thing.
You know, it is the strategy of people who like to muddy the waters. They conflate things, and they have on purpose conflated anti-vaccine mandate with anti-vaccine because it confuses people and it's not for clarity. And so, you know, that's one of the things, you know, you're doing that I've seen you speak out on is to keep this clear and to not conflate these issues.
Barbara, I'd like to add a part here too, and that's where it's related to children. So as of tomorrow, kids as young as 5 years old will be eligible to get the shot. Mm. And so that is also a huge aspect of this because it's 5 to 11 will be eligible tomorrow. But there's another part of Idaho code that some people may not be aware of. And it says that children as young as 14 years of age can go and get a shot without their parents' permission.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just alarming for parents, because it could mean that their child is at school or at some other function and doing something without their permission. And that is just not right. And that's another piece of legislation that I am going to be working on and bringing forward here in this upcoming session, is to repeal that, because parents really need to have that ultimate decision.
We're up against a break, but I want to get a quick question in that's relating to what you just said about a child, and they are children, at greater than 14. Is this just about the COVID vaccination, or that's any shot or any medical procedure? Children greater than the age of 14 are allowed to do anything like that without their parents' permission, or you're just talking about COVID?
There's several sections of code that do talk about these minors, but this one specifically that I'm talking about, and it's 39-3801, it's talking about infectious, contagious, or communicable diseases, and then allows that child to go in and get treatment, if you will, for those communicable diseases. This has a broader perspective, but it can apply to this COVID shot.
All right. Thank you for that clarification. All right. As promised, we're up against a break. We're going to take it right now. State Representative Priscilla Giddings will be here with more information, more answers just for you.
Hi, this is John Darling with Flooring Outlet by Carpet One. A few years ago, we recognized our community needed a flooring outlet option to purchase clearance and closeout flooring products. Being locally owned for 75 years, we feel that Flooring Outlet by Carpet One can give our community just what it needs without fighting the box store crowds, and promotes buying local. Whether big or small, we've got your flooring project covered. We purchase flooring in large quantities so you don't have to. Because at the Flooring Outlet, you get more and save more. Looking for a whole house of flooring? We either have it in stock or can negotiate the very best price for your project. Because we offer big value at a small price. Save more on products such as waterproof flooring, carpets, sheet vinyl, hardwood, laminate, and ceramic tile. You will find high style for a low price. So come on down to Flooring Outlet by Carpet One, located between Superdrug and Safeway in Sandpoint, where you'll find beautiful floors for less.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their heads?
We play! Yeah!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
Listen to why Idahoans are getting vaccinated for COVID-19.
I decided to have my kids vaccinated so that they could be involved in their activities and their school again. I would encourage other parents to get their children vaccinated.
Since I got vaccinated, I'm confident I'm protected against the COVID-19 virus. My life has returned to business as usual. I would encourage people to do the research, you know, listen to the healthcare providers.
I was vaccinated not only for my protection, but to protect my community.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. We're talking today with State Representative Priscilla Giddings, and she is going to be a candidate next year, 2022, on the primary, and if she gets through that, to the general election for lieutenant governor here in the state of Idaho. Priscilla, thank you again for joining us. It's just been really great to get to know more about you and your positions. Well, our topic is the reconvening of the legislature. We've talked about the mandate issues, but there's another issue, as you well know, and everyone wants to get to that, and that has to do with the legislature considering the ethics complaints against you. I would like you to define for our audience and explain to our audience what are these ethic complaints that have been raised.
Sure. You know, it's a long story and there's lots of layers, and it depends on how deep you want to go into it. But essentially what had happened is that there was another ethics case that happened before the one against me, and there was a news article about that situation, and it had information, two different reports attached to it, that actually a lawyer had released to the press. And I shared the news article on my Facebook page, and from that, it had a young woman's name inside the report that the lawyer released to the press. And so kind of the radical left took that and started just using it to disparage my character and to say that, you know, I had provided private information to the public when all I had done is posted a news article. So with that, there was a couple ethics reports filed against me, saying, one, that by sharing that news article, it was conduct unbecoming of a legislator. And inside that one, they also went on to say that that I was evasive and had not been completely truthful, because when they had asked me if I had shared the young woman's name, I said, no, I had posted the link to the news article. And so they were trying to get me to admit that I had posted her information, even though it had already been made public. So there was lots of nuances in the whole thing. Unfortunately, there's more of the backstory that the gentleman who filed the ethics complaint against me is my opponent in the race for lieutenant governor. And he ended up using and approving $63,000 of your taxpayer money to pay a law firm out of Boise to represent the ethics committee. And that lawyer and that law firm that represented the committee also gave money to my opponent's campaign. So it really just shows how broken and how kind of corrupt the system is, in that it really has, in my opinion, it's nothing to do with ethics. This is more just part of the campaign season and what they'll do to try to push back against strong conservative voices.
Yeah.
And we're actually seeing that nationwide. You know, there was ethics charges against Wendy Rogers, who's been trying to push for election integrity in Arizona. There was ethics charges against Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, they ended up, the Democrats in D.C. ended up kicking her off of all of her committees. So it's a tactic that the left uses, and sadly, it's here in Idaho now also. So during when we reconvene on November the 15th, one of the first items of business will be to vote on whether or not I should be kicked off a committee. Ironically, the committee they chose to remove me from is the one where I put House Bill 140 through, which would have stopped these mandates from happening. So they're taking me off that committee, so I can't work on that legislation as much to try to stop the mandates. So it's kind of a political theatrics, and they have the votes to do it. We really are not as conservative a state as people think.
Yeah.
They only need 36 votes to make that happen. It's just a kind of a majority mob rule, if you will. And so they have that ability. So we just have to press full speed ahead and get the message out there so that people know what's really going on, and that it's going to be another fun election season.
Fun being in quotation marks, I hope. You know, Priscilla, so the reconvening that's coming up November 15th, they will vote then to remove you or not remove you from a committee, or they'll make recommendations and that actual vote will come up then in January when the new legislative session begins.
No, they will vote on January the 15th.
Right. So the person who's your opponent also for lieutenant governor, I'm understanding, is Speaker of the House, Bedke, and he's the one that spent $63,000 on what, an attorney? Say that one again. Your opponent, the current Speaker of the House, spent taxpayer money to hire an attorney to do what?
Correct. So the Ethics Committee hired outside legal counsel, so a law firm called Holland and Hart out of Boise. So the Ethics Committee used an attorney from Holland and Hart to pursue all of these charges or these ethics complaints against me.
Go ahead.
Let me just say, in code, the Speaker of the House is the only individual in the House. So the Speaker and the Pro Tem approve those legal fees out of the House Legal Defense Fund. So he's the one that's approving the money, the $63,000 that goes to that law firm for them doing this whole ethics thing against me.
Okay. And to be clear, what you posted on, I understand, social media, is that correct?
Correct.
You posted a link to a news report, and in the news report, the name of the accuser of another legislator, a completely separate ethics issue, in the news report, that's where her name was. You did not actually post her name or reveal her name in any of your writings or emails or social media posts, correct?
Correct.
Where are, and maybe they are there, and I just don't hear them or know enough about this, but where are your conservative Republican colleagues standing up for you and defending you and pushing back against this political push from your opponents for lieutenant governor? Are your colleagues standing up for you?
It depends on how you define colleagues, and it gets back to the dynamics of the Republican Party and how it is very fractured.
Yeah.
And so I would say more of my conservative colleagues have been very supportive, and you will see kind of that vote count on November the 15th will reveal that as far as who understands and sees the truth versus those who are more influenced by the political aspect of this.
Yeah.
And you kind of also have to take into consideration how much money the Speaker of the House doles out to certain amount of Republicans in the party. That's how he got elected to be Speaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely, I always say it a lot, but follow the money. And that usually will show you kind of what the vote count's going to look like.
Yeah, follow the money. And I think it's really good advice for all of our listeners who want to follow on this. You know, look for how the votes are and look and see how, our representatives and other people voted, because it's very revealing. Well, I want to change the topic here. And there's a big debate. In fact, Bonner County commissioners were talking about it today, Priscilla, this idea of saying no to federal money that have strings attached, that it looks like quote unquote free money. It isn't free. It's taxpayers' money. It's our money. And there are strings that get attached to it that begin to bind our the people, the voters, our representatives, our government, from like the federal level or from state to local. Give us a couple of examples where you think that this is egregious, that this is a problem that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, Barbara, because it actually kind of is a third topic that will be discussed when we go back into the session on November the 15th, reconvene, is the amount of federal money that is flowing into our state. So to date, there's been about $18 billion total that has flowed into Idaho. Now, only a much smaller portion of that has the Idaho legislature and the governor's office actually had to approve and dole out through different agencies. But what has happened is when I started in the legislature about 5 years ago, our budget was about $6.9 billion as a state. This year, our budget's at about $11 billion. So we've almost doubled our budget in the last 5 years. And then you bring in, or you look at the percentage that we get from the federal government. 5 years ago, it was 35%. This year, we're at 45%. So almost half of the money that we're getting to run our state is coming from the federal government. And that is concerning to a lot of people because it's on a trajectory that we can't sustain. And as our nation hits close to $30 trillion in deficit, it's no longer really about, you know, our money. Now we're talking about our freedom. You know, it's for each of our kids. They're going to owe like $100,000 and before they even have a job. And so what we're doing is we're slowly sacrificing our freedom. And we've got this new amount of money that's actually coming through. It's the Infrastructure and Jobs Act. It's another $1.3 trillion that Biden wants to send. $3 billion would come to Idaho. And the problem and what commissioners are starting to see and notice is a lot of the strings are attached. We didn't even know it. When the legislature approved a lot of these funds, you know, if you go back to the relief funds that Biden first approved, he said that, you know, we just had to, not one Republican in D.C. voted for it. And it showed up to Idaho, and we had the ability to say no, thank you. Mm-hmm. But the majority of legislators in Boise voted for it anyway, and we didn't even have the stipulations. We still don't have the final stipulations for those billions of dollars.
Mm.
So one of the strings that we recently found is that inside the regulations that they're mentioning, they want you to include a lot of this critical race theory training. And they're saying that you have to abide by applicable executive orders. And so that could be any future applicable executive order also. So if you get yourself into a position where you can't pay that money back, you're now essentially a slave to whatever executive order comes down from the Oval Office. And so it's really not a healthy position to spend more than you're capable of paying back.
You know, we're up against a break. We're going to take it. Priscilla, I agree with you. I think this everything we've talked about is important, but I think this is overriding, you know, the amount of spending that's going on, the strings that are attached when the money, 45% of the Idaho budget is now dependent on federal money. I heard you say that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's just craziness. So let's take a break. Let's come back to this topic after the break. So stick with us, everybody.
Hey there, Sandpoint. This is Jason Welker, and I'm running for a seat on City Council. I have served as the chairman of Sandpoint's Planning and Zoning Commission for 2 years, and during that time, I've advocated for responsible growth and development that respects local values. As a City Council member, I vow to engage the public to seek input on the path that growth will take in the next 10 years, so we can assure that Sandpoint remains the place we all love for people who live here today, while assuring affordability and quality of life so the children growing up here will be able to call this place home when they are older. This message is approved by the committee to elect Jason Welker for Sandpoint City Council.
Easy is on, and here comes Brad in the backstage. Going to the inside.
High energy 90s country pop artist Sawyer Brown hits the stage this November.
Well, I ain't first place, but I ain't white trash. You me a little crazy.
Live in the Ponderay Pavilion. Get tickets today at northernquest.com.
Always some girls do.
Did you know that the co-op has an entire pet care department? And it is full of everything from pet food to training toys, travel crates, pet beds, and more. With the arrival of cooler weather, consider a heated bed pad for your furry family member. We have those too. And we have heated pet food and water dishes. Just about everything you need to keep your pet well fed, warm, and healthy this winter. Look for it all at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
Okay, joining us today on the podcast is Stan and Roy, collectively known as the Raptors from Triple Play.
Guys, here's a question. I've heard the Raptor Reef Water Park is always exactly 86 degrees. Why is this?
Well, Madeline, rigorous studies showed us that 86 degrees is the ideal temperature for fun to grow and flourish.
Oh, Stan.
So are you saying the water park would be less fun if it was 85 or 87 degrees?
I think that might possibly be exactly what I'm saying.
Could we make that, not what he's saying?
The Raptors are brought to you by Triple Play, where you can bowl, play laser tag, climb a ropes course, and splash around in Raptor Reef Indoor Water Park. Plus, it's all attached to a cozy hotel. Visit 3play.com.
At 88 degrees, fun really dissipates, and we want to avoid that.
Okay, Stan, what is that based on?
Instinct, Roy. Distinct instinct.
Oh.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans and your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. Even if you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.com.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's radio.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. We are talking today with Idaho State Representative Priscilla Giddings. She is going to be one of the candidates next year, 2022, for Lieutenant Governor in Idaho. And Priscilla, I'm assuming that you have a website that's like, what, Priscilla Giddings for LieutenantGovernor.org? Or if people want to research more and get to know you, where do they go to find out?
Yeah, GiddingsForIdaho.com, and that's GIDDINGS.
All right, Giddings for FOR or numeral four?
Either. We'll get you there.
All right. Yeah, I know. Google's got it figured out, whatever we spell. GiddingsForIdaho.com. All right, our topic before we went on break was receiving, accepting federal funds. And they always have strings attached. And there were a couple of things I want you to repeat or comment on. One is, you know, it's like at the federal level, this, you know, they've supposedly cut down, Biden wanted, what, $3.75 trillion, and it got cut to 1.7 something, I think. But that's not the important thing. To me, it's what are the programs in there? And once these programs get funded and they get established and they get staffed and distributed out to Ohio and Pennsylvania and Idaho, it's almost impossible to pull them back. So the dollar amount is almost a distraction. It's almost like a shell game. You have to look at what's in the funding. You know, what is it that they're funding? What are the new programs? Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, because they're hiding a lot of things in there. You know, like the one that concerns me the most on the National Defense Authorization Act. There again, more spending, and they were just arguing over the numbers. But one of the hidden things was that now they're going to have women sign up for the draft. Mm-hmm. And we had one of our own Idaho congressmen, Mike Simpson, voted for that. To have your daughter have to be to sign up for the draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how drastic the left is going inside these spending bills. Mm-hmm. And they're tens of thousands of pages long. And so a lot of people aren't finding these little huge red flags until after it's too late. And that's my concern, is if Idaho continues to just say, look at all that free money, we can't do it until we read all the fine print. And unfortunately, our current elected officials are not reading the fine print. And that's why the May primary is so important.
You know, that was one of the areas is, do you believe that our Washington, D.C. team Senators Crapo and Risch and Representative Russ Fulcher, not to put them all in the same basket, but are they vocal enough? Are they hard-hitting enough? Are they and their staff, are they reading? That's what they're paid for. We pay them. I can't read those 1,000 pages. I don't even think I can get my hands on it. Do you think they're doing a good enough job for that? And how do we get them moving in that direction?
You know, that is a tough predicament, and I'm more focused at the state level. However, I can quickly summarize and say we have, you know, four different gentlemen that represent us in Washington, D.C., and all four of them are very different. Mm-hmm. And I have appreciated Congressman Fulcher's conservative values. He's part of the Freedom Caucus, and they have been somewhat effective. But there's, you know, 500-plus people in D.C., and you're just four gentlemen, right?
Yeah.
And so you, as much as you may want to be more vocal, it's very difficult to do inside of that D.C. swamp atmosphere. However, the other three gentlemen, you know, Risch and Crapo and Simpson, they're career politicians. They've been there for a long time. And I think most Idahoans would agree that in that essence, we need some fresh perspective and we need some new people to represent Idaho.
You know, Idaho tried twice, is it 20 years ago already or more, to get term limits, and it just got shut down in the courts, and it got shut down in the legislature, and whoever was the money and the movement behind it, it just kind of dribbled away. But I do still believe in term limits. The other thing you said with regard to receiving federal money with strings and the dangers of the debt and the dangers of living in this debt. You said there's actually money that comes in programs and we don't even know what the strings are yet. I mean, it's just like, you know, you don't know what that loan shark is going to do to you. And that to me is such folly. Did I hear you correctly?
You're absolutely right. We're taking the money without knowing what the provisions are. And one of the things I threw out there is this whole concept of critical race theory, where we have been fighting it strongly here in Idaho for the last couple of years, yet you know, our current governor is saying critical race theory doesn't exist here in Idaho. But yet, I mean, he's just got his eyes closed to what's really happening, because we've seen instances of it K through 12, you know, even early childhood development, preschools in our colleges, millions and millions of dollars. And two of the key words in behind critical race theory is this concept of equity, which is equal outcomes, it's socialism, as opposed to equality, which is equal opportunity, and capitalism. So we see a lot of equity being pushed through all of this federal money. And another word that is a basic baseline for critical race theory is privilege, because they're trying to promote this idea that America is inherently racist and that white people are naturally privileged. And so in some of the reading through this money and these programs that are coming through this new Infrastructure and Jobs Act, it's just full of, you know, because we want more equity and we want to get rid of privilege. And they just beat that drum over and over again, even when they're talking about infrastructure projects. And it's quite alarming where they really are trying to switch our form of government drastically through these spending programs.
Indeed. Well, we are winding down here. Priscilla Giddings, State Representative, District 7, running for Lieutenant Governor. I can't tell you what an enjoyable conversation this has been, very revealing about what you think and what kind of a Lieutenant Governor and Representative you are, and Lieutenant Governor you might be for us. I just want to invite you, if you're ever up in North Idaho on a Tuesday, come on by the studio, and we can sit across the table from each other and do an interview. There's just always more to talk about with all of our representatives and the people who help us have a good government here in Idaho. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Barbara.
All right, everybody. Next week, going to change it up. I'm going to do a deep dive into homeschooling ideas and options with Maureen Patterson. And Wendy Eaton. Wendy is a part of, or the founder of, a very interesting program called Classical Conversations. So until then, Barbara Carpenter saying take care and may God richly bless you.
K246 CU, 1450 KBFI.